a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Lewis!
And the other guy.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Curry, Scott Mitchell. And we appreciate you being with us on the program. We have a fun time doing this show, Scott, don't we?
Love this show.
That's right. It's exactly what you're supposed to say. All right.
I mean, it's kind of a hard question to throw out there at me. I'm like, no, I hate it. It sucks.
Honey,
it's terrible.
Do I look fat in this dress?
It's a setup, man.
Yeah.
And it is. I have to ask you it in front of the listening audience, so you have to be nice about it.
About the same as me saying to you, say something funny.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Just say something funny.
Hate
right
it.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. Hate that. Hey, you're always on the... You're always on the ready for a dad joke. So when somebody says, say something funny, you're like, okay. And then you've like got something set up. The thing that's masterful
Speaking
about
of that,
there's the thing that's masterful about yours.
A blue ship and a red ship collide in the middle of the ocean.
What?
What happens to the survivors? They're marooned. I mean, if you just want me to pull out a dad joke.
It doesn't work.
See,
when
you're laughing.
I'm laughing because of how ridiculous it is that we still keep doing this.
That's what's funny about it.
No, the best is when I actually do get caught flat-footed with it.
I love
that. When you go,
that's my favorite.
So I was talking
part.
Last night with one of my old teammates, and then you're like, what? And I'm like, fascinated. I'm all, oh, yeah, awesome. And then you're like, they were marooned. Har, har. That's the guy. I gotta live with this guy every day. Hey, what kind of celebrity in the state of Utah right now? Did you see Gwyneth Paltrow?
She doesn't look like Gwyneth Paltrow.
No. She's coming across as like a...
No makeup.
She's wearing a
and poor
tall
and...
turtleneck. It's almost like a look of, even though, well, first of all...
How much money do you think she spent on fashion consultation
for this?
About what to wear.
Hey, a nice innocent color is like a solid beige, yeah. You know, like you don't want to go full white. And
I'm
she
gonna,
does.
I'm going to wear Dior.
Yeah, don't Dolce. Do it. Don't do it. Here's the thing about, I don't know the ins and outs of the case that well, but I've read some of the things, and I've just been a little bit annoyed by the fact. So initially this guy was looking for like $3.8 million or something like that from the resort, from her. Now it's been whittled down to 300,000. I think he's just like, hey man, he claims that she ran into him on the slopes, which is that's a boo-boo.
Yeah.
You know, first thing you learn on the ski slope is if someone's downhill from you, you're the responsible party, right? You got to be the one who is watching out.
I don't
people.
Know ski rules.
That's it. If someone's below you on the mountain,
makes sense.
You got to get it. You have to avoid them. They can't see you coming, so it's on you. So this guy Terry Sanderson, which by the way, the lawsuit was filed in 2019, but apparently in 2016 is when he got hit on the hill. This is where we're at now. Yes.
Wow.
So I don't know all the ins and outs here, but I do know that, like,
so
hey, man.
So is he in court with, like, one of those neck braces on?
That's what I'm saying. Like, 6 years later, it looks a little. It looks a little weird. Like, it just comes across as you being, I don't know, did he say he got hurt? Oh, look at her full look that she's got going on now. You can't see this on the radio. She's wearing these glasses she's wearing magnify her eyes like she's like in their 80s frames, aren't they? Look at her.
Yeah.
This is a masterful look by her. Like, she looks like a character in a movie.
She had a consultant, I guarantee it.
100%. You've got to if you're going to be in this case. All right. So, settle down, dude. I mean, if he's really hurt, I mean, is it pain and suffering at this point? I don't know. At this point, the $300,000 probably sounds like that's the amount of money that a lawyer probably has had over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
He's had to shovel out as a retainer or something. I don't know.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right. Scott, a representative not certified by the NFLPA has apparently contacted multiple teams on behalf of Lamar Jackson. It sounds like a prank. Like, if I started contacting teams, because that's a big no-no. You can't be just a representative of somebody unless you've gone through the full-fledged training and stuff.
I don't think it's acceptable. Like, you know.
Yeah, so what was your name again? Like, and they start writing it down and they're all, come on, man. So I look at this and I go, it's another weird piece of this Lamar Jackson puzzle that has just been extremely hard. So the reason they have this representation that it gets certified by the NFLPA is because players have to protect themselves, and over the years they have not been protected before, but apparently it was just one of these, you can't negotiate with somebody who's not certified by the NFLPA. And so you can't be contacting teams on behalf of a player if the NFL doesn't recognize you as somebody who's a rep.
I think that's the biggest challenge for someone like Lamar, not having an agent. If you're an agent, you're dealing with all 32 teams all the time.
Right.
If you're a good agent.
Right.
So you're going to have relationships. You're going to have them on. If you're a player, like, you don't know who the general manager, you know, the New Orleans Saints is.
Of course.
Or, you know, and it's not that you can't find that out.
He just goes to Indeed and starts looking up,
you're
like,
just not equipped for it.
He goes to LinkedIn, starts sending messages, like,
right. I mean,
to just, people who are listed as like executives in the NFL. But it's just another bad look, I think, for Lamar Jackson if he really did have a guy who's like a family friend or something. Because I know that these guys want to be able to. They don't want to get ripped off, and now at this point it's gotten to this weird thing where Lamar Jackson is going to end up not getting representation that is beneficial to him because he waited too long. It might be a too little too late kind of situation in terms of getting the most money out of it. And so
I think it's really one of the strangest things that's happening in the NFL today. Lamar Jackson's a former MVP. He's certainly a very unique talent in the NFL. He can make a lot of things happen, but the people that are around him the most are the Baltimore Ravens, and they, you know, probably have an opinion of him, and they're like, yeah, we're not going to do, a Deshaun Watson deal. We're just not going to do it. And so I think it's just a tough situation all around, because he's a player that really deserves to be paid. If you even look and compare him to some of these other people that are getting a paycheck, it's just ridiculous.
The Packers president, Mark Murphy, has been, quote, sworn to secrecy on the Aaron Rodgers trade talks. Well, like, what else would it be? I mean, if you're the president of a team and you're in negotiations, like, it's the stupidest thing ever to talk about it, right? It's one thing for Aaron Rodgers to go out publicly and say, here are the things that I want, and at the New York Jets. It's another one for the Packers themselves to be rolling out there and kind of showing their hand. And this seems like everything keeps taking a weird turn on this case. I don't know what to think about it. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know that it's any different than it ever has been. The Packers are the ones who have all of the control. So they can control the narrative. And when you're trying to manipulate a situation, you use the media. You know, when we had Mark Carlin on, he's like, I don't know where these people are getting this information. Someone's saying things, and they're saying them whether it's to try to see if there's like a crack in the dam, so to speak. And is there one of these teams in the Pac-12 that's really nervous? There's, you know, Aaron Rodgers trying to make the Packers, trying to force them to show their hand. I mean, that's all his whole thing is, going out publicly, just saying, hey, I want to play for the Jets. And he was very specific about that. And that's not without, you know, some kind of agenda or some kind of purpose. Packers really have all the cards. So they're like, why not say squat here? So we're not.
Speaking of teams who hold all the cards, Austin Eckler, who's the running back, the kind of multi-purpose, he's kind of in that same vein as like a, you know, Christian McCaffrey type for the Chargers. He is going around on the media tours and saying how underpaid he is. Now, he's 28. He's going into next season under contract to pull in about $6.4 million, I think, on this next year on his deal. Yeah, after he signed a four-year, $24.5 million contract in 2020. He says he's vastly underpaid, and he's looking for a team who actually wants to pay him and keep him long-term. That's a bad position to be in, 28 years old as a running back, and saying I need to get paid more in the NFL.
You're always going to be underpaid. I mean, the evolution of contracts, it just changes all the time. And the key is to be hot when the time is right to strike. You know, so that's the key. And you sign a new deal, and you know, you kind of have to live for it for a moment, but you really need to time it out. So that you can hit as many of those good paydays as you possibly can.
Sure.
And that's really the key. My agent always liked to do shorter deals so that you kind of kept yourself relevant in the marketplace. Yeah. You know, like 3-4 years, you know, I mean,
right.
A 4-year deal isn't the end of the world for anyone these days, because you renegotiate it after
2 years.
Two years anyways.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting too, because I do think he's very productive. He's had his last couple of seasons. He's averaged over 1,800 yards of all-purpose production over the last 3 years, which is great. But when you're 28, like, everybody knows that if somebody says a 29-year-old running back, like, GMs they're risk averse at that point, right? Where they're going, who's going to give a guy a long-term deal when he's 28? And yeah, he's productive, but for how long? Because those running backs had hit a wall.
Yeah.
And so
running back is the worst position, I think, to be in the NFL today.
It's trending down on the money side of things.
And you get so beat up,
mm-hmm.
and you just don't have a whole lot of leverage. And you just don't see running backs getting drafted high. You just don't see them being a big part of most teams.
You know what?
There's still a place for running backs in the NFL, but it's not as high a priority.
This whole conversation has made me want to do. I'm going to get certified by the NFLPA because – running backs need representation. You know what the running backs need? They need their own running back player association, RBPA. All right? No one's standing up for these guys. They need their own union inside their union so that they can get paid, man. These guys are getting underappreciated, undervalued. They're getting crushed. And Christian McCaffrey, by the way, $16 million a year. Alvin Kamara, $15 million a year. I think people look at those guys and go, yeah, that's kind of the class of your guys who kind of do everything.
That's what you want. That's what you need to have. I mean, that's valuable. And you saw what Christian McCaffrey did for the 49ers. I mean, having a guy like that is certainly valuable. So that's the kind of player I'd look for.
Derrick Henry signed up. Derrick Henry is the class of running backs, right?
No question.
He's a like the traditional big back who takes a lot of carries, 30 carries a game. 4-year, $50 million, Scott. That's like not a lot in the NFL. 4 years. $50 million. Like, that is, it's a 12, it was a $12 million signing bonus, and every year he's, you know, his base salary is $10 million a year. The NFL, $10 million, it's crazy to say this, that is like half of what a really good wide receiver gets paid. Yeah. And he's the best running back, you know, when it comes to big name running backs. So it's wild. All right, should we take a break here?
Let's do it.
Let's come back after the break. When we return, more to go. Stay right here with us, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.